I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. At South by Southwest, the amazingly wonderful Natural Selection swept the awards. Seriously, it won everything. It won the Grand Jury Prize, Best Screenplay, Best Editing, Best Score and Music, and the stars of the film, Rachel Harris and Matt O'Leary, won for breakthrough performances. I can't say enough good things about this movie, and it deserves all the praise it's getting. Before I saw the film, I sat down and talked with its stars, Rachel Harris and Matt O'Leary, and with writer-director Robbie Pickering. We had a great conversation, but unfortunately, my recorders didn't catch a lot of what Rachel said due to all the noise in the Driscoll Hotel. So, if you download the podcast, just be aware of that. We talked about Matt's audition, Rachel's improv mastery, those are my words, not hers, and how the film's stepbrothers can lead to breakups. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Rachel, Matt, and Robbie.
So how did you get involved in the film?
Well, it was just an audition process.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Back in L.A., I just threw the agent, whatever, and I went out, and I was starting to spread my wings a little bit with comedy, and
yes.
This is, it's a dark comedy, and
yeah,
I was always obsessed with the idea that dark comedies are creepy, but it's just, it isn't. It's a serious film about reality that incorporates comedy,
yeah.
And I think that's where the dark comes in to play, and I was very interested in it, and I really liked the character, and I kind of wanted to create something new. Playing a video game, and I heard like some voice, and I started creating this thing, and well, that's how I did.
Yeah, okay.
And I just kind of created my own thing from that, and I walked in, and I decided I'm just going to go all out, and I really like improvising, and I know that Robbie's the writer director,
mm-hmm.
and to improv somebody's writing is got to be annoying, but I was hoping that he wouldn't have a problem with it, and we bounced back and forth very well in the room. And at the end of the day, I went home, and they said they liked me. I mean, I'm speaking for them right now, but the producer, the main producer, I guess I went so far into it, and I know the character is very angry.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very angry guy and kind of a loner and whatnot, and I amped that in the audition, but since you have one or two scenes to pick from, and they're making a judgment for the entire, the span of the character, they were worried that I was a little too angry, so when I went back in, I kind of changed it up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that's where really the improv kind of kicked in, and I started to fall in love with the comedy of the story, because really I haven't been a part of any comedy. Spy Kids is a little different, but I really wanted to try that, and I know that this is a dramatic, this is a drama, so being able to kind of like find the comedy in the character, and from that really shape the character,
mm-hmm.
I was able to find depth, when in some of the heavy scenes, especially with Rachel, being able to collaborate with Rachel Harris.
So now you're a first-time director.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So how do you go about writing your script and getting these two guys in?
Well, I think right now in Hollywood, like I was in a film independent director's lab workshop with a lot of great people, and a lot of great speakers came in, and one of them was Laura Dern, and she said, dudes, like, if you guys have a great script, it doesn't matter how much money you have, like, people, actors want to work. You can walk into CAA and say, not literally, but like, it's not too difficult if you have a great script to go in and get a pretty good casting director and say, hey, it takes a while, of course, but Matt and Rachel want to be in good stuff. They want to be challenged, and yeah, they want to be paid. But like, I don't think either of you did this for the money.
Absolutely not. No, I was searching for. I mean, in my career, don't get me wrong, I would love a payday. But at the end of the day, when I get a script that I can't put down, and I read scripts all of the time that I just throw over my shoulder, or I get angry and I go vomit afterward, and I sit and I finish this script and I just want to read it again. I mean, it speaks volumes for itself. I mean, it just makes me. This is what I want to do, and it just made me want to do it, you know. I was telling you about the audition process. It sparked something in my head, you know. I was playing video games, and that's where it was inspired, and I was just like, I really like this, and the director writer's going to be in the room. It's the same fucking person, excuse my language, and it's like, it's easy to relate to somebody and create a character and collaborate, and that's what I want to do, and it's just, it's difficult to find truth out there.
I think, Rachel, you're always getting like TV offers and stuff. Like, in fact, Rachel almost couldn't do this because of the pilot, and she dropped out of the movie for a while.
It was impossible. My friend Dana Gold was writing a pilot, and he wrote a part for me, and there was a very good chance that I was going to get to do it. And then there were some other family things that I had going on that conflicted with the timing of when they were going to shoot the pilot. So I originally thought, my thing was that it was heartbreaking, because when I read the film, when I read the script, I wanted to, and it was the same thing where I was in, did you live in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
I live out here. Okay, so I was at like Cahuenga and Franklin, that little coffee shop.
Okay.
There. And I thought, well, I'll take this and I'll read it. And then I, 2 hours later, I put it down, and I hadn't had a response like that to an independent film. And I knew, I just felt like I knew what to do with this. I thought, and so I told my agent, I said, I think this is an opportunity for me to do something different than what I've been doing comedically. And this is really what I want to be doing. These are the kinds of films that I want to be a part of, something that
it's different.
It's different, but it's also important. You know, I feel like it's real. And I think that's the thing that you connect. I think everybody can connect to these characters, because I think we're coming from a very real place.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes you want to be a part of it and get involved.
So I was talking to Matt, and he said he immediately sort of grasped onto a character, and you did as well. Did you have audition?
I did. Yeah.
Did they do that in the room, and you're like, okay, this is what I'm looking for?
With Matt, I think when he first came into audition, Matt took a little like getting something. He was a little too angry in the first audition. Because I think when you're a boy or a young adult, as Matt is, and you're a guy, I think anger is your immediate go-to. So it didn't surprise us that anger was the first emotion that came up when he was doing the character. So I had him come back. So no, initially Matt was we were all like, man, he's too angry. But we knew he was a great actor, so we invited him back. And I just gave him one simple direction. You know, I think I told you, let's see more of that kid from Frailty or something like that, or the boy in the character, and he did perfectly. And then with Rachel, I think that I knew from the beginning with Rachel, because it was, yeah, I think my casting director set up a meeting with Rachel, and I didn't want to go, because I was kind of like, you know, how in what, when you see the movie and you know Rachel's prior work, you're kind of like, I mean, really, she plays a bitch in all her roles, and this woman is the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, just seeing the clips that I've seen.
Yeah, but when I sat down with her, I think what convinced me with both Rachel and Matt, and I was saying this earlier, is that I really do believe that the best casting is just hyperbole of who they are naturally. And I could see the essence of the characters in both of them, just in interactions. Apart, like during the audition, talking to Rachel was actually more informative than the audition itself. Same thing with Matt. Because you get a sense of their personalities, and so you know when they act, they can just be the character instead of acting like the character, which I think is essential to a great performance on the screen. You know,
now, Rachel, what a great improv actress. Did you guys improv at all, or was it just script?
We did improv. I mean, Robbie was really generous, because I the way that I like to improvise more fancies or whatever, something which people can sort of dictate that, but I would like to have it done scripted, you know, as is, and then Robbie was really great at letting us make it our own. But he was also very good at saying, oh, I think this is, this needs to be said this way. You know, I mean, like, this, these words need to be used. But, yeah, we did improvise. Matt's a great improviser.
I got to try it, at least, you know, and being with Rachel, it was awesome.
It's like masterclass.
Yeah, no, it was great. And it was, yeah, I think it was, like you said, you like to do it very scripted, especially for Linda, that's how you got to it, whereas, like, I kind of found Raymond to be this idea, you know, in my head that I would just kind of use the words to get to. There's actually a lot of conversations between Robbie and I where I would ask him what the meaning is and what the point is that we're trying to get to. And sometimes he would say, yes, but I need you to say these words, you know, because I would try to go off script as much as possible.
And well, I try to keep you guys away from result-oriented stuff as much as possible. You know, like, whenever you get it in your head that there's a point to the scene...
Not the scene, but the what you're saying, you know, like in a particular part of a scene, when you clarify the meaning of what your point is at that particular time. And that clarifying that for me, especially after running it a few times, doing the first few shots of whatever scene it may be, knowing that point makes it a lot easier to go out of the box and say funny, maybe quirky things that relate to this very specific meaning.
Well, what you're talking about is like an anchor. Like, the reason we could improvise and the reason anybody can improvise and do it, like, so it's not a Saturday Night Live sketch or Anchorman, which is one of my favorite movies, but a different movie.
As well as Step Brothers, that's one of
my favorite movies.
Which I just want to go on record saying, one of the funniest movies ever.
One of the funniest. I once broke up with a girlfriend because she didn't like Step Brothers. Okay, so, but the way we were improvising is not the way Rachel improvises in the Groundlings. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, when we got close to that kind of improvisation, Rachel was really uncomfortable. The way we were improvising was comedic and was dramatic, but it wasn't either of those things exclusively. So the way we were improvising was totally from character. And what Matt's talking about is an anchor. Like, your character is your anchor. So whenever Matt got too goofy or something like that, you could always come back to, well, who's my character? And would he really say something like that? I think there was always...
Oh, and I was goofy. I said some pretty goofy shit.
Whenever we got goofier, actually, Rachel got really uncomfortable with the improvisation.
You did.
Really?
You did. You said, I feel like I'm in a Groundlings skit right now, and I knew it was time to stop. And in fact, we did 45 minutes of improvisation one time that was exclusively for one-liners. And Matt had a lot of funny stuff. But... we, out of the 45 minutes of shooting, which the crew got mad at me for doing, we only used one line for that.
Yeah.
One line.
And it was driving me crazy the whole time we were doing it.
Yeah, so...
we were doing it.
But,
it was like, it's funny. It was good for me, though.
It was good for you.
It was good for me workout, to do
but,
that.
But that being... there wasn't a lot of that improvisation in this.
Yeah.
You know, anything funny that Matt said in improvisation that was improvised
came from a real place
and most of the time came from him just ad-libbing on the script. And in the movie, a lot of it's scripted, a lot of it's not. Most of it has a structure when we actually film it.
And that's it. I think having that structure to relate to, that anchor, you know, really... It wasn't one-liner joke after joke. It was more like being able to create a brand new view of the scene from your character.
It was being in the moment.
Yeah.
And saying it like a real person would say it. And real people stumble over their words and they do little asides and stuff like that. And both Matt and Rachel did that. So I guess you could call that improvising. It's just not being... you know.
The point wasn't to make you laugh in our improv. It was more to get the scene stronger, to strengthen the scene.
Did you guys rehearse at all?
We rehearsed. We didn't have a lot of time to rehearse. So,
it was all on our own.
I went over the script with Matt prior to filming. I went over the script briefly with Rachel because she flew in the day before. But we basically had like three scenes that we knew we had to get, but we didn't have maybe three or four scenes, and we rehearsed those pretty well. But just blocking and I think for the one scene we rehearsed the most, I think it was just a lot of blocking. We would find the scenes on set a lot. And every day after we filmed, me and Rachel, Matt, and the other actors would go back and kind of powwow and think about the scenes the next day and think about what beats we wanted to accentuate in the scene, you know, how the scene would change and that. But it was a pretty fluid process, not too much rehearsal.
And your script to the final film, did it exceed your expectations?
Yeah. I mean, it exceeded my expectations because it defied my expectations. It was different. It became a living thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best thing I can say about it is that I didn't plan on it being the movie it is. And it surprised me, it's disappointed me. There are mistakes, there are triumphs, you know, there are victories, and it's totally different from the script I wrote. To me, mm-hmm. I think if somebody else read it, they would see it's like similar, but the tone is different. But that's because it's alive, and that's because they're real characters on the screen. If it was in line with my expectations, it would be a really dead movie. You know, because there's just a movie that you know is exactly what they wanted it to be, and those are a lot of bad studio movies or movies that are controlled within an inch of their life. And then there are movies, mostly indie movies, Robert Altman movies for me, you know, like Michael Ritchie movies for me, Hal Ashby movies for me, that live on screen, and that the director wasn't trying to control it. And the director was guiding it, but, you know, the movie was its own entity, you know? And, you know, I wanted my baby to go to Harvard, but it's going to Oxford, or it's going to UT instead. You know? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I can't control what my baby's going to be, but I know I'm proud of my baby.
Yeah. And just one more question for you guys. What's your advice to actors?
Get training. I think go to school.
Yeah.
Like for young actors or just
sure, actors. Yeah, I mean actors in general.
Don't be afraid to fail when you're trying things, like when you're rehearsing, when you're shooting, even or just the more you think something doesn't work, the closer you are to figuring out if it does work. And I think just if my advice is if you can vision see yourself doing anything else. I luckily had no other skill set.
Literally.
So
she's mentally retarded.
Yes.
She's got a touch of down.
Right, I do.
Outside of acting.
But I think that's it. But then also, you know, don't try to be something else other than what you are. Don't try to be like what you think the cast character wants.
Yeah.
Be yourself. Because then that will get people to know who you are. And so even though you might not be right for this thing, you'll have a better sense of who you are.
I mean, the greatest tool, I honestly think, it's a little cliche to say, but it's like, I think you should know your lines inside and out. I know a lot of actors that are my age that have them memorized, but they don't know them. And I think, know your lines. If you know your lines, then you can apply a different level of energy to it. And I think giving it your all, like almost too much, is a good thing. And, you know, you say give it your all, and everyone's like, well, sure, yeah, I'll give it your all, but it's like,
Some people don't throw themselves into
it. Yeah, if you throw yourself into it, listen, the director or whoever you're around will take you back, and will turn you, you know, it will bring you back if you go a little too far. But it's way more difficult to ask somebody or have your director or your casting director ask you to do more, because it's an ambiguous kind of statement. Hey, apply more of yourself to this. It's just literally just dive into it, and if you know your lines, that's not going to be the difficult process. So.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.